This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
Welcome to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
Featuring Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
Smoke and mirrors, guys. Welcome to the movie factory.
Only on Project Nerd.
Hello, you beautiful humans, and welcome to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. It is episode 169. We are back once again, like we are many, many times before.
It's still 168.
It's definitely 168.
It's still 168.
I really want it to be 169.
Especially because, yeah, we're not even going to record an episode for 169, so...
It's super upsetting that we're not going to get to say it.
Your childish heart got it out there anyways. So it is, yeah, episode 168, as Tyler mentioned. Adam,
no,
Bob.
I didn't. It's 169.
Okay, sorry. It is 168 as Adam and I.
I mentioned it was 168 for sure.
Adam, Bob, Tyler, and myself, Iggy, all here this week. I want to say this is, I would have to look at it, but like 7 weeks in a row. For us to get an episode out. So great job, guys.
Woohoo!
Consistency, which is going to be great for 2019, especially when we roll out those other options to listen to us like Patreon and things. But exciting because a lot of you listeners are taking notice that we're here regularly again and are coming back in extreme. So welcome back, or welcome new people. I don't know. Maybe a little of both. Was that it? What was that? I think that was a hello.
Yeah, what was that sound?
I'm not sure. It sounded like a
cat
gremlin
or something.
I thought Bob was like gremlin helloing or something.
Hello,
like,
how are
too
you?
Much, too much
welcome.
Mark Dodson time, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, huge week, little over a week of content since we last talked. Like a million things going on right now. Let's just dive right in. Your thoughts, obviously, on the biggest thing that happened today of recording, Captain Marvel trailer dropping.
It looks amazing. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for it to come right now. That's all I want. And nobody else is saying anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's definitely a teaser, so there's not a ton to bite into, but we get little de-aged Coulson, little de-aged Nick Fury, little Nick Fury voiceover. Get a little glance at some of the other members of Star Force and the Kree War. Get a lot of Brie Larson. We get Brie Larson punching an old lady in the face.
You get Blockbuster.
That's how you know it's a 90s movie. She falls through the roof of a Blockbuster that's still, you know, open and operating. So that's fun. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on there. A lot to unpack. I don't want to, like, be one of those people who dives too deep into the trailer. But there's a lot happening there as far as, like, what's the storyline going to be, because it's obviously an origin story, but I like the framing mechanic they're using with like what it seems to be like flashbacks. Like she may or may not remember who she is, so it may not be the straight act one, you know, introduction origin, act two setup of the big bad, and then act three we may get the backstory peppered in throughout the course of the story, which would be an interesting. They got to find new ways to do origin stories because they've exhausted the classics, I think, at this point.
So, Adam, you don't typically watch movie trailers, but it sounds like you watched this one.
No, I stop watching movie trailers once I know I'm going to watch the movie.
And so wait, hold on. So you weren't sold on watching this no matter what anyways before the trailer?
We got to watch the first trailer at least.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Yes, there are a lot of movies that I know I'm going to watch, but how excited I'm going to allow myself to get, I need to watch that trailer to kind of see. I think it looks good. You know, I like the setup. You kind of have the sci-fi. I mean, obviously you're going to get more of a sci-fi feel with this, kind of like you do with Guardians and a little bit of Doctor Strange. So I'm okay with that. I like that aspect of it. I think Brie Larson is going to be absolutely fantastic in the role. And the more I see her in the role, the happier I am with that casting.
So I think Netflix was kind of throwing out a damn it right there, because they were trying to drop some big rumors or news today. Actually, it was news as well. And it just kind of got overshadowed. And I think any day you don't have a Marvel trailer announcing a live action adaptation of Avatar The Last Airbender would typically be massive. And I know the geeks everywhere that caught the news, at least, seemed to be pretty excited about it as well. But on top of that, I mean, we had also the Mary Poppins trailer, Loki and Scarlet Witch, talking about series on the Disney Disney streaming service. So just announcements galore, it seems like here. But I think the Disney streaming one's still technically quote unquote rumors.
It's rumors, but it's Variety. I mean, like, they're usually pretty dialed into what's going on in Hollywood. So, you know, you could probably assume that that's going to happen. The Avatar The Last Airbender one is interesting because you have obviously a huge fan base. You have all the people that are happy with the things that Netflix does, but live action anime Netflix adaptations are a very specific thing and haven't always been like complete home runs. So it's going to be really interesting to see as this moves forward, how everybody kind of feels about it. Cause I know Death Note wasn't universally well-loved and there've been others that they've done that haven't been just like, oh my God, yeah, for sure. This is the best thing ever. And then you already have a not well-loved live action adaptation of Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah, I think not well-loved is the understatement of the century. Like, I don't know that there's ever been an adaptation, and there's been some really poorly received adaptations, but that one was, like, I don't know any quarter of anywhere that found anything redeemable about it. I think I would be hard-pressed to find anything that was positive said about it, from the early, like, accusations of whitewashing to it being terrible to just, like, it was bad coming and going. Like, mm-hmm. I can't remember a single positive thing that was ever said about that movie.
Nope.
I'll give you one. It looks okay.
I was just hopeful.
It was way too dark. And it was also one of those movies that was at the forefront of that like fake 3D wave where it was like, we'll film it in 2D and then go in afterwards and then
convert it
to 3D. And it looked terrible and it darkened what was already a really dark movie. Like, it was shot to be really dark. And then when you do that effect to make a 2D movie 3D, it makes it even darker. It was, I don't know. It was real bad.
This is where my inability to see 3D movies comes in handy. Didn't see it in 3D. Saw it in the original 2D. Super not bummed out about that either.
Fair enough. But yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised at the same time, not surprised that they're going back to that same well, specifically because there's another Airbender series. I mean, another Avatar series that has since come out that was almost as well received as the original that you could adapt first. Like, rather than go back to this well that's already been made live action once poorly, like, why are we not adapting Korra? I mean, maybe this is the precursor to adapting Korra, but Korra's, and it's got, there's a lot more for other people. I mean, I think Korra may be, other than the fact that you need some steeping in like the Avatar world, like, Korra may be even more accessible as a story than I think the original one.
Yeah, you may need some steeping in the story, but anybody who's going to be watching a live-action Avatar-based movie or TV show is going to have already watched the anime, probably. Well, so it's like,
yeah,
and that's definitely new people, so it's okay.
That's definitely an advantage to Netflix making movies as opposed to a studio making movies. Like, most studios have to appeal to as wide an audience as humanly possible. Like, have to get as many people in theater seats as they want. Mm-hmm. Netflix has proven time and time again, like, they can 100% make niche things and only the people who want to watch them. And that's enough for them because they just need the subscriptions. They don't need to fill
theaters. Right, because the people who aren't watching it are paying the same $12 as everybody else. So
for the record, 6% on Rotten Tomatoes for that Avatar The Last Airbender movie.
See, it means there were at least a few positive things.
Here's the crazy thing. Are you guys ready for this one? 20% on Metacritic.
Wow. Who are the 6% that actually gave it a positive review?
Well, that's the thing about the way the tomato meter works is, like, if a movie is super well received, the tomato meter will always be higher than the Metacritic score. But the same is true. If it's a really bad movie, the Metacritic score will always be higher because Metacritic applies like a value to the review. Whereas Rotten Tomatoes gives it, it's either a one or a zero. Yeah. It's either a bad review or a good review. Whereas Metacritic applies grades to it. So like at the high end, Rotten Tomatoes is always higher, but at the low end, Rotten Tomatoes is always lower, which is always kind of one of the biggest complaints about the way Rotten Tomatoes scores things. So,
well, I think for a future movie night, we should revisit that one and see how it goes.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. That would be right? we typically stick to our movie nights to awesomely bad movies. Like, they have their cult followings or there's things about them that are redeemable. There's nothing in that movie that's worth...
This is just bad, bad.
It's just bad, bad.
It is pretty terrible. But yeah, as mentioned too, so we had the movie trailer drops, a number of them. Project Nerd, though, big announcement on our end. Cosplay Cookbook's back, guys.
Yay.
Whee. So Cosplay Cookbook featuring 20 recipes, 20 cosplayers in their custom costumes coming to you in 2019. You can head on over to projectnerd.com and check out the announcement and details on how to sign up if you want to participate. I'm pretty excited for this project. We tried a version of it many years ago back in Project Nerd's young stage. Our larva life. I don't even know where we were in development there.
Pupa. We were pupa.
We were still squeaking. Our voices were still cracking and things like that at that point. So we've matured now a little bit, just a little bit. I mean, Tyler was still really excited about saying 69. So I don't know how much we've actually matured.
How long ago was that? I'm trying to remember when that Kickstarter was.
Probably back around episode 69.
2014.
Yeah, but we didn't start numbering episodes like this until just recently. So
yeah, until the fifth season.
Blanks episode, whatever, yeah.
I mean, it'd be easy enough to actually figure it out because the counting is a thing that can happen. But I stand by my statement.
Well, I'll be counting this weekend as I migrate everything over to SoundCloud. So just it'll be counting them for you. But it was 2014 when we tried one. We're smarter. We're wiser. We are more prepared. Yeah, I know. Adam's giving me that face.
Okay, like, are any of those things true?
I feel like we got one out of three, maybe two out of three there. I don't know about it. We certainly already don't have all three out of three there.
All right, so I'll take one out of three. So it could be better. We have a better budget this time. Let's just put it that way. We've got a better budget and a better plan to make this happen. And
one out of three is a Hall of Fame baseball career.
Right, exactly. Those are Altuve numbers right there. So pretty exciting as can be. But let's, you know, I sidetracked this on to Project Nerd News, which I'll have a tendency to do, and I'll do some more later this episode. But more going on with the movies. Real quick, Bob, I know Predator, number one at the box office.
Yeah. Boy, was I disappointed.
Yeah, you saw it. And I saw that look on your face right when I just asked you. So.
Oh, man, that was just trash. It really
just be clear, like some of the rest of us were planning on seeing it and no one else in this podcast has seen it because specifically Bob got out of it and said, don't go see this movie.
Okay. Bob didn't even do the, well, it's good for a popcorn flick line that he typically pulls out. He went straight through that and the whole weekend down my Facebook feed, skip it, don't see it. That was a waste of time. somebody even said, I'm furious that I am spending that I just spent 2 hours in this movie theater watching this. Yeah. So I did not see one positive comment.
No, it really just wasn't good. I mean, Adam would like it probably because there was plenty of gore. It had the gore factor going, but that's it. I mean, it really didn't have anything redeeming about it. You know, there was all this big controversy about that scene getting cut with Olivia Munn and the guy who apparently was a sexual predator. The studio didn't bother to do anything about that scene to make it somewhat understandable. All of a sudden, these cops show up. She looks like she just smacked somebody in the face. She has a real angry look on her face and say, you're coming with us. And that's it. I mean, there was nothing to it. There's a lot of set pieces that just didn't flow very well.
I mean, you say nothing positive. And then you said immediately after that, Olivia Munn. And I was like, well, there's at least one positive.
As we just said, one out of three is not bad.
Bad story, bad acting, Olivia Munn. I'll take it. I'm
I will find, still not going I will to find see something it. Else with Olivia Munn. Let's just say that.
Oh yeah, so, I mean, I'll just rewatch Newsroom. It's fine.
So is this Predators bad or Alien versus Predator bad?
You know what? I kind of liked Alien versus Predator. I know.
Man, Bob.
Adam shaking.
Listen. Say what you will about it. It had the best tagline of a movie in a long time, specifically, no matter who wins, we lose.
Yeah.
It's a good tagline for an action movie. That's
a good tagline. If you got Lance Hendrickson, I mean, that's a fun movie.
I'm going to say it's Predator 2 bad. That's how bad it is.
All right.
Okay, but
we can't get rid of Predator 2 because that's where Bill Paxton dies to a predator. And
game over, man.
We need to keep also, Danny Glover is a national treasure, so you need to back that one off just a little.
He was for sure too old for that shit at that point in time.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he made like 12 more Lethal Weapons after Predators 2. So
it just seemed that way, though.
It seemed that he made 12 more, or that Predator 2 was. I don't know. It seems now like So here's the good question. We all, like everybody we know, like has a soft spot for Predator. Which Predator movie outside of the first one is a really good Predator movie, or is a really good movie?
None of them are really good movies. Even the first one's not a really good movie. It's a fun action movie. It's not a really good movie, though. I mean, and that's okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I still like Alien versus Predator. I'm sorry.
That's
don't hold it against me. I don't care.
100% will, because it's dumb and you're dumb.
Well, what can I say?
But it's not a good Predator movie. It's a good Alien movie.
Wait, what?
What do you mean, what?
So are we going to compare?
I
have Xenomorphs are better than the Predators.
I'm not saying that the Xenomorphs aren't better, and I'm not saying that the aliens are the better part of that movie, but calling it, quote unquote, a good alien movie means you're putting it on the same level as, you know,
Alien.
Aliens. Well, no. Alien and Aliens are great alien movies. Alien 3 is pretty good. Alien Resurrection is not very good at all. Covenant, also pretty good. Prometheus, hardly an alien movie.
Would you put any of those, so like that you just listed the other of the, in all, the alien all franchise them.
yes
so Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection, Covenant, and Prometheus, would you put any of the six of those underneath Predator versus Alien?
Probably
no. There's no way.
Nope.
So it's a good alien movie, even though it's the worst alien movie ever made.
That sounds like Adam, though. I mean, Adam is all about...
I love alien movies, so I mean, I can... Yeah,
it's a good alien movie, but it's of the... where would you rank it? Oh, it's the worst one, but it's still a good...
I'd probably have it above Resurrection, if I'm being honest.
Really?
I would rather watch it than Resurrection.
Well, the first Alien versus Predator, right? Because obviously this is not Alien versus Predator 2.
Not Alien versus Predator. It's called Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
Come on.
Get right. Requiem or Resurrection, then.
Get your shit together. Probably Resurrection, and just because you get a lot of Ron Perlman, and I'm on board with that.
I'll take that. All right. Adam's definitive alien ranking right there, only on Project Nerd. If you want to argue him, one, you have to have as much alien collectibles as he does, which I'm sure there's some of you out there probably listening, because we are a geek podcast after all. So with that, obviously Predator's still in box office, still doing good, because it is an action movie and there's not much out. This week we get The House with a Clock in Its Walls. That's right, the whole title, The House with the Clock in Its Walls, based off of the, I think a whole, it's a series of books, correct? Tyler would know this.
Sorry, what's the question?
Based on a series of books, not just one book? Like, this is the first in a series?
I mean, they're the very first book in the series is called The House with the Clock in Its Walls, and it looks like this will be that novel, but that novel went on to spawn 11 sequels? Like, in a series, it ended up being like a 12-book sequel.
Yeah.
It's by John Bellairs. But they're like, they're JV, like, they're juvenile, like, well, not juvenile, like, young adult fiction, but they came out, like, I think the first one came out in the 70s, like 72, 73, something like that. So they've been fairly classic books for a lot of people for a long time.
All right. So that's our one this weekend. Bob, does it take Predator at the box office?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Can we go back to you saying Predator doing good at the box office? It made $24 million.
Didn't it win?
Yeah, it won.
But it only made $24 million, dude.
Hey.
And it's probably going to drop like 70% because I think bad word of mouth is just going to kill it.
Oh, yeah. I'd be surprised if it makes over 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if it makes over 10.
But we are, from release of this podcast, we are 2 weeks out from the next big weekend, A Star Is Born and Venom on the same weekend. You guys talked about it a little bit last week about how those are going up on the same weekend. A Star Is Born is picking up a lot of steam right now, like a lot of positive buzz ahead of its release.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We're going to go with taking Venom.
You know, it's not often that an Oscar front runner is going to lead a big superhero movie.
I this is going to be one of those. I mean, yeah, I know you guys think Tom Hardy's dreamy, but
Tom Hardy is dreamy, Bob. There's
facts. But I think the women are going to be drawn to the story. They're going to be drawn to Bradley Cooper, who is also very dreamy, and Bradley Cooper singing. I mean, if you listen to the songs, he's got this amazing voice. I think,
is that really him, Bob?
That is really him.
No.
And he and Lady Gaga wrote most of the songs for the show. So
no.
I expect them to probably win a Best Song award. It's hard for me to say that because I think the songs from Black Panther and the song from Deadpool 2 are going to be up. So it's going to be good. It's going to be fun.
I'm actually kind of with Bob on this one. I would not be surprised if Venom gets knocked out by A Star Is Born. I bet you it'll actually make pretty decent money just because mm-hmm. of who's in it and its pedigree of this movie being made so many times. Also, I think it's a misnomer to call what Venom is a big superhero movie. Like, it is definitely not on the same tier as a Marvel or a DC or even a Deadpool or even a normal Sony movie. Like, this is not, just from marketing and like budget alone, like they're not even trying to, I don't even feel like they're trying to market it as a big superhero movie. I would be surprised if Venom has an opening of more than $150 million. And I would expect a big drop after the first weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But do you think A Star Is Born is going to make over $150 million? I mean, you just said you'd be surprised if Venom didn't or did.
On opening weekend or total?
Yeah. What
I know.
What do you think it opens at? I mean, I think it opens at 50 or 60.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying 150 on opening in October. I didn't.
Oh, no. But I think like that's probably, that could be its ceiling. I would be surprised if it's definitely not going to make probably more than 50 opening weekend. But, you know, maybe I could be totally wrong.
But do you think a Star Is Born can carry $50 million?
No, but are they opening the same weekend?
Yes.
Oh. I thought one was off.
That's the whole thing we've been talking about, buddy. Come on, man.
I thought Star Is Born was the week after.
No, same weekend.
Will it beat it? I think it'll be a lot closer than you think. I would not be surprised if it wins, but it'll be close.
This will be interesting. We'll in two podcasts, so when we meet again, we'll have to throw some numbers out there and kind of talk on it after we do some digging. But I agree. I don't think Sony hasn't put as much into the Venom marketing as we've seen in other, obviously, of their Marvel movies, as well as it just, I don't think they've really given us anything that screams.
The thing, I was about to say it doesn't look good, and that's not true. It's not that it looks not good or not bad. It doesn't look like anything. Like, I literally could not tell you what it's going to be about other than Venom. I mean, Tom Hardy turned it into a monster. Like, that's what I got so far. Like, unless there's another trailer in the pipe coming that's going to, like, blow the doors off of it, like, I don't know if there's enough there to make people go see it yet.
Yeah, and I just don't see how they can advertise it like a regular Marvel film. You know, you're going to see characters on cups, on Happy Meal boxes, everything. Venom, I don't know if parents want to see that character on anything for their kids. You know, and yeah, I mean, it's going to be rated PG-13, so you're going to get that kid audience.
But I think that's another thing that's going to back some people off of it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I said, the advertising on it is just not up to what it should be.
Okay, let me run some of this stuff by you guys here here real quick. Tell me if you think I'm crazy here or not.
You're crazy.
I'm sure that advertising wise, maybe Sony's figured it out. We don't need to spend $100 million on advertising. People know about it already. And I mean, I went to the movies this weekend and saw Venom on cups and on popcorn buckets in my movie theater this past weekend. I mean, they're there. The advertising is there. But you keep your costs down on advertising because people already know about Venom. He's a loved character in the universe. Like, this is not Guardians of the Galaxy, who 5 years ago, not a lot of people knew about. I mean, this is Venom. People know who he is. Lots of people know who he is. Lots of people who will go see this movie because Tyler has said many, many times, there are several superheroes who are very, very big. Batman, Superman, and Spider-Man. That basically everybody knows who they are. And with Spider-Man, you get Venom. I mean, you just kind of do. So we don't need that. As for the PG-13 rated R thing, like, I mean, you'll lose some people because of it, probably, Iggy, but you'll gain a bunch of other people that wouldn't have been able to see it if it were rated R. So I think that probably is a wash or makes more money. So I think it's going to be strong, you guys. I think y'all are underestimating its opening weekend.
The one thing I did hear is that they are pushing that PG-13 rating to the limit on this. So, you know, right. It's going.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll dive deeper into it next time we meet in a couple weeks to talk about it, because we'll be right on it. Opening weekend, what are you guys seeing? Bob, are you seeing both?
Yeah, definitely.
Adam, Tyler, Venom?
I will definitely see Venom. I
probably both.
I'll see Star Wars: I don't know if I'll see it opening weekend.
All right.
Adam may 100% be right. I don't know, but I do take issue with one part of Adam's premise, and that is he opened with words that have never been spoken by anyone ever, in that Sony may have figured it out, or Sony has it figured out.
I know.
Has said no one ever.
It surprised me, but it popped into my head, and I thought, they're wily like a fox. I think they may have gotten it, is that we don't need to spend as much money advertising superhero movies now as we used to.
They're wily like Wile E. Coyote. They've already run off the cliff. They just haven't realized it yet.
Exactly. They may just keep going. They don't know what they should know. They don't know that they should know what they don't know.
They don't really know much of anything at this point.
All right. So it kind of brought up briefly, sticking with some superhero theme here. A lot happening with our DC universe over there at Warner Brothers. And for those of you that have listened to the Nerdcast plenty, you know we have a lot of opinion when it comes to the DC cinematic universe.
We really only have one opinion, and that is it is a train wreck.
It is a train wreck. Outside of Wonder Woman. Those
lovable bastards. Right.
That's a nice way of putting it. But I mean,
you know, give it to them. They just keep trying, you know?
They won't quit. But images of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker in one of the 25, I think, standalone Joker movies we're getting over the next few years, as well as Henry Cavill said he's out as Superman, which was shortly followed by Ben Affleck supposedly out as Batman. So do we start fresh? Do we recast? Do we just go to straight standalone movies? What do you think's going on here? And obviously, be as aggressive about DC as possible, as that's always fun.
Well, the problem is they can't recast. Like, they're too deep in. Gal Gadot's too popular. Like, you can't recast her. Like, it's impossible. So yeah. I don't know if you just start trying to make movies without these two characters. I don't know where you go forward from this. Like, it makes literally no sense. Like, but at the same time, like, when has anything that any decision that Warner Brothers has made with regards to the DC universe seemed to make much sense at all? Like, it is a train wreck of a studio that still has no idea what they're doing with such a lucrative set of IP, and they can't get it together. I don't know if it's because they don't have someone in charge. Like, every article that comes out after every one of these movies paints a picture of just organizational chaos. You know, disarray and chaos with, you know, 15 captains trying to steer the ship and giving that much power to Zack Snyder for that long, who, while he has many strengths, adapting comic book characters is easily not one of them, especially like beloved ones. I don't know. Like, we could go on about this forever, but like, there's no way they're canning Gal Gadot unless Wonder Woman 84 just tanks, which I find very implausible. Now, I have a feeling that Aquaman's probably going to tank. And I don't know, like, where is the Flash movie being made? It's on its like seventh director at this point. I don't know. Cyborg is a character sometimes, maybe sometimes, I don't know. Like, is that, I don't know. Like, I don't know that they know what they're going to do.
That movie is for sure not happening. There will not be a Cyborg movie.
But well, I'm not even saying, will there be a Cyborg movie? Is that guy, like, does that guy still work for DC? Like, I don't think he's a big enough star for us to like put him up there with Cavill and stuff, but like, no, outside of Gal Gadot and an Aquaman movie they've already made, like, do they just start over and be like, all right, Gal Gadot, you're now in charge and you go recruit a new Superman, a new Batman, a new Cyborg, a new Flash.
Well, you know, the one thing that the rumors that people have been wanting to do is pull in Michael B. Jordan as Superman and maybe starting off with Earth 2.
Now, I will 100% sign on to that for no other reason to watch the internet lose its collective.
Right. Yeah. So my question is I have no problem with us looking at, because Superman, that's the exact thing. You bring up Earth 2. There's like millions of Earths. DC is notorious for saying, oh, by the way, we have this other Earth where it's completely different. But why Michael B. Jordan? We just had him in a comic book movie. Let's get some other actors who aren't
and a Marvel.
Yeah, everybody who's in DC is in Marvel, and everybody's in Marvel's in DC. It's just like everybody's got to cross. Wait. It's like they're like, okay, they were in that one. We got to get him over here and do it better. Give him a bigger role. People fell in love with him as Killmonger. Let's get him over here and strike while it's hot, because that's the only way we're going to sell tickets to any more of these DC
movies. Yeah, but most of the people make the move the other way. They make a DC movie and like, actually, I would like to go make a good movie now.
Right.
No one's like getting off the Marvel gravy train and being like, I really like what those guys are doing over there at DC.
But I don't know who in Hollywood is stupid enough to do a DC movie anymore, even with the money they're probably putting.
I don't think it's stupid. You're gonna pay somebody 20 plus million, probably royalties and everything else collecting with it. The movies make money. Justice League made money. I mean, Suicide Squad won a freaking Oscar.
was a bad year for makeup, let's just say.
It was a fine year for makeup, and they made the wrong choice, Bob.
Well, yeah.
I think maybe just keep making, you know, Gal Gadot movies and blow the rest of it up and just start over from scratch. The problem was DC wanted, after the success of the Nolan films, and then MCU comes out of nowhere and just starts killing it movie after movie after movie, they wanted to cash in on what Marvel was doing without doing any of the groundwork that Marvel did. Like, it took Marvel a while to get to where they were going, and DC's like, yeah, fuck that, we'll just start at Avengers, you know, we'll just right there, it'll be fine, it'll be cool, don't worry about it. And it didn't work. Like, I don't know. Like, we have hashed over the missteps and mistakes that Warner Brothers and DC have made over and over again. Maybe this is a sign that they've decided, maybe they figured it out. Maybe they're like, we're wrong, we've messed it up, let's kill everyone and start over. Except for Gal Gadot, she can stay.
So Sony and Warner Brothers have their shit together, according to our podcast.
I was going to say, you can give me crap for saying Sony knows what they're doing. You said DC knows what they're doing. I don't think
so. DC knows what they're doing because they're killing it in comics. It's Warner Brothers that doesn't know what they're doing with DC. But here's the thing. It's what's crazy, which all of us who do not get paid millions of dollars to run a studio have figured out. You brought up the biggest point, Tyler, that not only us, but everybody goes back to. They didn't lay the groundwork for this mega franchise of multiple, you know, multiple characters, multiple movies. When laying the groundwork still makes money. Like, they don't lose anything by laying the groundwork. You do some origin story movies, you bring in the characters slowly. You didn't have to catch up to Avengers. You could have done a solo flick for all of these movies. You could have built up and you just made more money instead of just.
Well, that's the thing. And they would have already started a step ahead, because it's not like the first solo well-made DC movie wasn't going to make Iron Man 1 money. Like, it was like the superhero audience is built. Like, they're not starting at square one. They get to get a head start because Marvel's already built the model. They just had to make a competent introduction movie, and it would have made $200, $300, $400, $500 million. And then they could build from there. They didn't have to start at square one. Marvel already did all the groundwork of like building the audience for superhero movies, but they can't jump in and make Justice League like their third movie. At the same time, like, I think they when they made like Man of Steel was a good starting point. Like, the fact that Man of Steel was 100% like the idea of Man of Steel was a good starting point. The biggest problem, I think, with the opening of the DC Universe is that Zack Snyder, in his quest to deconstruct the superhero, makes it clear that he literally doesn't care about anything that makes these characters who they are. Like, his interpretation of Superman and Batman are not, like, there's different facets of those characters you can explore in different ways. There's different versions of them that do different things. Like you said, DC has a million different universes. Is this the pre-crisis, post-crisis, Silver Age, Golden Age, Bronze Age? It doesn't matter. The version of Superman that he made does not exist in comic books and has never existed in comic books and will never exist in comic books. And he almost took pride in that, where everyone else is like, dude, fucking, there's a reason Superman's been around for like 100 years. Just make that fucking movie.
Essentially. But like you said, we could go on and on and on about this. But as always, you can share your comments on what you think.
Can we just make a spinoff podcast that's us bishing about the DC?
It's not a bad idea.
Just week after week, like, right, let's take it? Another piece of the shit show that is the DC cinematic universe and just tear it apart.
Is it possible that they make Titans and we get the whole, like...
Oh, don't even get me started there.
No, but we know that the whole fuck Batman thing is that he's gone off and done his own thing, and they just never recast Batman. And Wonder Woman just ends up like,
here's the thing,
adopting the Titans and just taking them over, and like, you guys are Justice League now, let's do it.
Well, did you see,
not have Batman and Superman? Like, you can't not have two of the most iconic DC characters.
I mean,
watch them, Miggy.
You can, but I don't. Did you see, like, though, that DC's streaming service obviously has already launched? Titans won't come out yet, but DC's streaming service exists, and they did their Batman Day, and they did their first episode of their new show that's all about the DC universe, whatever. Anyway, they showed a clip from Titans with Dick Grayson meeting Jason Todd. So Batman's obviously still in the picture because Jason Todd's the new Robin, and they play up on the whole like awkward Dick Grayson Jason Todd thing. But I don't know. It's just, it is what it is. But I think everything lay squarely at the beginning where they started. Like, there was no path to success from where they started, and then they just kept making bigger mistakes and they learned all the wrong mistakes from Nolan's movie, I think is the other big thing. Like, they took all the wrong things from Nolan's adaptations and not the right things. But I don't know. We beat this horse.
Ideas are running through my head for that other podcast right now though. But anyways, lately streaming has been throwing the series out at us. We've had some great content. I don't know if you guys finished it. I finished Ozark season 2 in August. Netflix killing it with Ozark, was fantastic. But here in September, they dropped both Iron Fist season 2 and BoJack Horseman season 5. I don't know, are you guys getting any of those in? Either of those in?
I have started Iron Fist. I am not in a good place in my life right now to try and watch BoJack Horseman. That's just not happening. I need to be in a much better place right now than I am right now.
BoJack Horseman is so good. So I'm about halfway through season 5, and it just this show just blows my mind. And it's easily one of the best done shows out there, and I think most underappreciated shows, because it is so well written, and it takes on so many big things. Like, it takes on big things from, narcissism, depression, all the kind of stuff, family abuse, all the kinds of things you can think of, and all the characters are going through something, and they put like a twist on it that, like Tyler said, one minute you just might be dead on the floor because it's so depressing, but the next minute you're laughing hysterically at a whole episode.
I love that show so much, but there are just times like an episode ends and I have to go sit in the dark for a little bit.
I think it was season 3, the ending of season 3, that was just like, just wow. Like, how do you end a season on that note? And they do it. But season 5 is so great because it's so self-aware of what's going on, and it's what's going on in Hollywood right now makes it perfect. Because your BoJack Horseman type character is—I don't want to say he's—he's a perfect character against the Me Too movement, but he's definitely not a character that typically is on the right side of that movement. And that show has just owned it. They've owned taking on those challenges and taking on a number of things with the supporting characters. But I just got done with episode 6 about halfway through the season, called a Free Churro. And the entire episode is just Bojack's dialogue. He just has 25 minutes of him talking, just him talking, nothing else. And it's super, like, got good jokes in there, but it's super depressing the whole way because of the context of it, what's going on and everything. And of course, at the very end of the episode, they just throw a little twist in there that just makes you laugh out loud hysterically. And it's like, wow, this is fantastic. But I can't say the two shows that we just got from them between Ozark and Bojack Horseman, they're just phenomenal. Like, they are just really, really good programming that Netflix has dropped right there. And I feel the same way about Ozark season 2. I could have done another 30 episodes of that easily. I don't know. You're shaking your head. I thought you might chime in there, Adam.
I haven't watched any of that.
Okay, so then no.
You've never watched any Bojack Horseman?
Zero Bojack Horseman. Dude. Zero. I made it through about 7 episodes of the first season of Iron Fist, and I was like, Danny Rand is a giant douche, and I'm done with this. And I haven't watched any Ozark either.
You didn't watch the first season of Ozark?
No.
Good. Dude, you're missing. It's a great show, man.
I hear these things.
You and Laura would love that show. Like, that is right up your alley type show.
The number of people that have told me that about Breaking Bad.
Oh, Breaking Bad was boring as hell. I get that people love that show so much, but that was boring. Ozark is fantastic. And Jason Bateman, his dry, sarcastic kind of asshole tone that he can do is perfect for this character he plays through that.
Ozark is really pretty good, but I mean, you should 100% watch Bojack Horseman. You should both watch Bojack Horseman.
I don't want to watch a TV show where I'm like, oh, hey, that was fun. I'm going to go cut off all human contact for the next 4 hours. Like,
so funny.
Season three though is not like season three is like the most depressingly low point.
Just watch the first two seasons.
Guys, I can't just be like out for a while. Like, come on, y'all.
Oh, you could, and I'm just throwing this out there, just spitballing. You don't have to watch all of it at once. You could watch, for instance, like one episode like a week. Like pick a day of the week, like Monday,
I'm a day pilgrim. To watch a show one episode at a time.
I'm just saying, you know, to maybe lessen the impact, but still appreciate the quality of the show.
The 90s?
Pick like a day of the week, like a Monday maybe, and then maybe even if you want, pick a time. So you and your wife, every Monday at 7, you just watch this one show, and you watch a single episode of it. And then you wait until the next week, Monday at 7, you watch a second episode. Throwing it out there, just concept, just an idea.
I don't like where your head's at, Tyler.
Dude, it's really, but Tyler's right. Like, Ozark was the same way. Ozark's not depressing like Bojack, but I can't take more than 2 episodes at a time with Ozark because it's just, there is a lot to unpack, and there is a lot of bad shit happening to that family in that show, and mostly at the fault of their own. But both shows are just so good. They're just really good. So it took me, it definitely neither one of those series was something that I could binge overnight or over a weekend even, but both are just fantastic and couldn't recommend them any more than I can. I mean, top scores for me on those. Iron Fist, I don't know, Tyler, better than season 1? That's what I'm hearing.
It's definitely better than season 1. I haven't finished it yet. It's definitely better than season 1. It's definitely shorter than season 1. They finally realized, hey, maybe don't make these 27 episodes long. Every Marvel series up to this point has always felt way longer than it should have been. There's some really good stuff in it. There's some also not great stuff in it. The fight sequences are significantly better. Anything that involves, you know, Misty and Colleen teaming up, Daughters of the Dragon, is really fun. Typhoid Mary. She plays a version of Typhoid Mary from the comics, who is not who Typhoid Mary is in the comics, but they hint that maybe some of that stuff's down the road. Person with a dissociative personality disorder, maybe possibly some. It's interesting. I like Alice Eve a lot. I think she was good in it, but I don't know. When I finish it, I'll give a final, but it's definitely better than season one. Is it one of, does it rank up there with the best of the Marvel shows on Netflix now? But it's worth a watch.
It'd be hard not to be better than season one.
Yeah. Danny Rand's a way better character now. Like, I think they really made some.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you watch Defenders? Because I made a lot of progress with him in Defenders.
No, because I didn't finish Iron Fist. And so when I started Defenders, I'm like, oh, what the hell? I don't understand what's going on. And then I was like, oh, I'll go back and watch it. And then I started it again. I was like, oh, nope. Moving.
Anyway, so he definitely made some progress in Defenders. He shows up in season two of Luke Cage. And that episode, I think, might be one of the best episodes of season two of Luke Cage. But yeah, I mean, it's worth a watch. It's not.
Yeah, I still got to finish Luke Cage season two. But so, there's just so much right now. And on our list also, which Adam, I think you're the fan of, American Horror Story Cult, is that the current season, is dropped on. So it's coming out
on. Well, yeah, it's not the one that's right there. So there's one that just started. And what's, Netflix and Hulu dropped Apocalypse. And Netflix and Hulu dropped last season, which was Cult. Today, actually, they're both went live earlier this morning. Watching them, already a couple episodes in, and yeah, good stuff. I mean, American Horror Story is perfect for what it is, which is just, I'm gonna watch this, it's gonna be kind of creepy but entertaining, and call it good.
Bob, are you watching that as well?
I only watched maybe one or two episodes of Cult, and I missed Apocalypse when it started last week. I'm still back at Roanoke, which just freaked the living crap out of me. That was, for me, that was the best season of American Horror Story. But like I said, I'm real excited about Apocalypse. It definitely looks interesting.
What network is this usually on? Or is it Star?
It's
on,
I guess. On FX.
FX, okay. Hence the Hulu there. All right, so enough with streaming. Let's jump over to, I guess, video games real quick. Big news out of the Witcher universe, which seems to be like big news every week from something regarding the Witcher. But you're getting a spin-off game, Thronebreaker, The Witcher Tales, CD Projekt Red. This October 23rd already. Like, so it's already here, which is odd because usually when we hear about a new game, it's like, is it going to happen in the next 2 years or is it going to be later? But I don't know. Adam, Tyler, I know you guys dove some into the Witcher universe. What are you guys thinking?
I'll definitely pick it up. It's definitely not it's nowhere on the level of what like The Witcher 3 was. It's a turn-based card game exploration puzzle thing. So it's, I think it's 2D animations, a lot of drawings, not on the level of the thing of something like one of the Witcher games, but I love that world and I'm excited to play something with it. But it's a turn-based strategy game, not a big live action RPG sort of thing. But that world is fun and I will 100% play it. So
yeah, and I think we're getting a Gwent update too, right, Tyler? So I mean,
yeah, there is a Gwent update on the horizon. I think it's a big Gwent update.
Yeah, it's a big one, right?
The homecoming. It's basically overhauling the entire way the game is played. It's some of it's in beta. I've seen some of the stuff, but kind of changing the way the game is played. And that comes out at almost the end of October is when this game comes out. They both are supposed to come out at the end of October. But Gwent, which for those who are aware, is like a card side game inside the Witcher universe that spawned its own game that you could just play the card game because people got obsessed with the card game in the real game. And it's a fun, you know, deck building strategy card game, and it's interesting. It has some mechanics that you don't see a lot of times in other strategy card games with different levels of combat and hero powers and stuff, but it's fun, and they're changing a ton of it in this new release, so that'll be cool.
I don't know, we're getting towards the end of the episode here. I feel like we could have used another 20 minutes making fun of DC, but you know, Warner Brothers over there, but I guess not. In the meantime, some big Project Nerd news. For those of you guys that pick us up on iTunes, please, please, please stay on the lookout in October for a new RSS feed link. We will be heading over to SoundCloud and submitting a new RSS feed over to iTunes because it will not only have the Nerdcast, but will continue to include our interview series, our occasional movie night podcast, but also now our brand new I'm Not Famous podcast, which you can find on audio format through that same feed, and eventually two more podcasts to be named. But I'm Not Famous drops October 16th. We recorded just a couple weeks ago, about 8 episodes. It was a blast doing a full studio setup. So you can find that over on projectnerd.com or projectnerd.live, which is a direct link to our YouTube channel for the video portion. And like I said, over on our SoundCloud, Project Nerd podcasts for all of those, really. So a lot of exciting things happening here in October, and we will begin migrating all of the old Nerdcast over to that SoundCloud. So you'll be able to still catch every episode from the past, including some of our favorites, like I think Aaron traveled back in time to make sure Ben Affleck was nominated for an Academy Award and became president. Our first ever live episode, our first ever on stage episode at Indie PopCon. Yeah, we had some good fun ones back there in the past. So check those out for sure. In the meantime, I think there was a few more things we added to the list here that we have, but we can share those in final thoughts. So Bob, do you want to get us started with a final thought for this week?
Really not that much going on. I've been playing, I've been playing a game. I've been playing Spider-Man. Adam just fell on the floor. It's fun. It's, I'm not really big on the, on those type of games, but I'm actually enjoying this one. A lot of action, it's not as hard as I was thinking it was going to be. But definitely keeps me, on my toes. It's a good game.
Yeah. The screenshots I've seen, anything about it has looked amazing. I don't know.
What do you mean you're not a fan of those kind of games, Bob?
I'm not a fan of like
RPGs. What do you mean, you people?
You people, yeah. No, I'm not a big fan of RPGs. I don't have the patience to play a game, Call of Duty. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get so much hate mail on this one. I don't play Call of Duty. I don't play just those long campaigns. I just don't have the patience for it. So
Bob's a Rocket League type guy.
Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog, Madden, those kind of games.
All right. All right. Adam, what you got for us this week?
Since he's still confused.
I got utter confusion that Bob is a Madden guy, but like he can sit down and play a 3.5-hour football game, but can't play. Okay.
All right. I don't even play for 3 hours. I put it on for 5 minutes a quarter. It's 20 minutes.
Oh, good grief. now I'm all flustered.
Since I took over games, you could say a movie.
I actually will talk movie news. So we glanced over Joaquin Phoenix in some Joker movie. I guess his movie's just called The Joker. I don't know. But they named his character Arthur Fleck, which I think is actually potentially, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's intentional. Somebody had to name him Arthur Fleck, but the Joker is Batman's nemesis, right? And the actor who plays Batman is Affleck. And so Arthur Fleck is A. Fleck. Like that's his initial, like that's his situation, right? So like I want DC to have done that on purpose. Well, actually, I want Warner Brothers to have done that on purpose. I don't know if they did, but I really, really want them to, because I think that's clever. I like that a lot. And I like that it's, slightly meta and all that kind of good stuff. I also really liked the pictures of Joaquin Phoenix as Arthur Fleck. So a pre-Joker Joker from what is probably going on in those pictures. I'm interested to see where that goes. I saw a lot of people say he already looks scarier than Jared Leto's Joker. And he doesn't have the makeup, doesn't have any of the stuff. He already looks, this is a human being that's going to be completely crazy. And I think that's, that madness really is kind of the defining characteristic of that character. And we saw that so well with Heath Ledger's adaptation. And I think Jack Nicholson's as well. So, I mean, I'm interested to see where this goes. And I have no idea. I'm sure the movie's going to be awful. God, just because they can't get out of their own way. But I'm excited to see Joaquin Phoenix take that character on.
It's was it Todd Phillips? What, the Hangover guy, right? Is that who's directing it? One of the brothers.
See, that name sounds
Yeah, Todd Phillips is the one directing it.
Right. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. But for the record, Adam, Arthur Fleck is not necessarily comic canon for a name. It was, I assume, was taken for this movie. I do remember, a handful of years ago, there was a big deal about who the Joker really was in the comics. I don't know if that ever came to be anything. I'm going to be honest, I wasn't still reading Batman at the time and didn't follow it too deeply. But I'm pretty sure on some of the stuff I've seen for this movie is that, yeah, Arthur Fleck is just a name created solely. Yeah,
there's right, never,
But you mean Warner Brothers is in doing something DC that's not canon to DC stories? No, shocking. Tell me it's not true. Iggy, say it ain't so.
Well, there's going to be three. We joke about 90-something Joker movies, but seriously, I think, was there like three in production, if I remember correctly? Not like, no exaggeration, so... I mean, we might end up with three different Jokers here. It'll be interesting to see. All right, Tyler, what you got for us?
I got a lot of things. I would say we didn't really talk about it, but there was, last night was the Emmy Awards, Primetime Emmy Awards. They gave out a lot of really cool awards. Specifically, I think some that I was really excited with, some surprise wins, was Thandie Newton winning for Best Supporting Actress for Westworld, which was awesome. Considering, like, of the, like, six or seven nominees, like, 12 of them were from Handmaid's Tale. Although Yvonne Stravinsky, I think, was the favorite, and she's amazing in Handmaid's Tale, but Thandie Newton is also really, really good. There was a lot of other really cool awards. I won't go through all of them, but the other one I think was a really cool one is they gave an award for television movie to the episode USS Callister for Black Mirror, which was one of the best Black Mirror episodes possibly ever, and I enjoyed it a great deal. Other than that, I'm reading. I just finished the newest book in the October Day series from Shannon McGuire called Night in Silence. I went to bed early on Sunday night because I was super tired around 10 o'clock. I was going to just start the book. But Shannon McGuire is big on giant, giant twists in her books, especially in the October Day series. They don't ever do small twists. They don't ever do small, like, big reveals. They're always earth-shattering, world-changing events. And, of course, the big twist in this one comes at, like, the 49-50% mark in the book. So next thing I knew, it was 4 a.m. and I had finished the book. So that happened. I was kind of a wreck at work the next morning.
Hold on. So let me follow your line of reasoning here. It was 10 o'clock. You were going to read just a little bit of this book. And your reasoning for why you ended up staying up so late was because there was going to be a twist.
No. I got to the twist.
And right. You couldn't put it down. But the twist happened halfway through the book. You went to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, which is 6 hours after you would have started it, which means you didn't get to the twist until about 1 o'clock in the morning.
That is 100% true.
Which means you could have gone to bed any time in the previous 3 hours and still gone to bed early.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. There was also a new novella at the end of the book that I didn't know was there. And I got to the end and read the novella as well. So
so Tyler, I like how that story started with, Robinson. So I went to bed really early on Sunday.
That was the plan. 4 a.m. Monday. But there's plenty of times I go to bed with a book, read a couple chapters, fall asleep. This book was really good and it kept me going. I read it all the way from cover to cover in one. I was going to say one sitting, but in one lay down, I read it from cover to cover.
More shocking news out of the podcast this week. Surprise, surprise. All right, that's it for episode 168, Tyler, 168. Next week, we will be off for the week, but you will still get a new episode from us featuring the wonderful voice talents of Charles Fleischer, Brittany Karbowski, and Veronica Taylor from our panel with them back at Colorado Springs Comic Con. So make sure you check that out. And again, in the coming weeks, be sure to check us out over on SoundCloud. So once again, if you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, or Stitcher, we are going to be bouncing over to SoundCloud. We'll be available immediately on iTunes and Google. I guess the Google Play Store, I'm sorry. Everybody says iTunes, but we obviously mean iTunes and Google Play Store. All those ones that pick up the RSS feeds from there will get picked up right away, but you'll still have to search for the new one. Stitcher, we'll have to manually make those adjustments too, so that'll take a little bit of time. So if you want to find us, the safest place is every Friday over at projectnerd.com. That's project-nerd.com, of course, along with some other amazing and exciting both video and series and podcast coming your way starting in October. So with that, this episode's over. Till next week, same nerd time, same nerd channel. See you then.